Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports and the Legend, along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew. I'm, of course, William Ammo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing good, man. Good to have you on the show, as always.
Thanks for having me, as usual.
All right. And, of course, ladies and gentlemen, you know, we're excited to have all of you here for this episode on today's show. You know, we're going to talk about the Rangers winning the NHL draft lottery. We'll get into that. We'll talk about how the other local teams are doing. The Islanders, Quinn Nets, as they qualify to the playoffs as well. We'll also talk about, you know, the Knicks as they made a big hiring in the coaching staff. And, you know, of course, you know, we'll let you know what's going on in the world of wrestling and obviously the baseball season as well. But if you guys would like to talk, the number is 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So, feel free to, you know, talk and let your voice be heard. We'd love to hear from you. So, you know, with that said, let's dive right in. And the biggest news right now, I guess you could say in sports, other than, you know, the baseball team trying to, you know, battle for, you know, the COVID, is basically the New York Rangers. They won the draft pick. It's been a while since they've won a draft pick, and
wow.
Lord knows, with Dolan running these teams, these teams have been cursed of winning, you know, any draft pick since Dolan took over. In the Rangers' credit, they've been run better than the Knicks. Last year they did win the second pick, and picked Capo Caco. You know,
Capo,
he's played
Caca.
Well. For... no, he's not his
though.
Oh. But he's been a good player. You know, the Rangers have been, you know, definitely been run a lot better, you know, than the Knicks have been. That literally goes without saying. But the Rangers are expected to pick this French Canadian guy, Alex Lafreniere. You know, I think I pronounced that correctly. But yeah, this guy he's just turned 18, and he's been scoring a lot. Like I think this year altogether he's averaged what 112 points. I think he had like 20 something goals and like maybe even 77 assists, some crazy ridiculous numbers like that. And then I think a couple of years ago he scored like 42 goals. So, I mean, he's the only choice for the Rangers. I mean, they won the lottery. I mean, there's no doubt, you know, that they're gonna go after him, you know, with the number one pick. Because he is clearly head and shoulders the best player, you know, with that. So what's your thoughts on that?
I think it's great. You know, it's – wow. So Rangers haven't had a top pick like this in years.
Yep.
Wow. This could change the franchise around.
Mm-hmm.
Like Patrick Ewing did for the Knicks back in 1984.
Mm-hmm.
85, whatever year that was. 84,
yeah.
I think. Right? Or 85. I'm forgetting.
85. Jordan was 84.
I
think Jordan was 84, if my memory right.
Yeah, you're right. It was 84, and then Ewing was the following year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Jordan, yeah, Patrick, Knicks only won that, the 1985, the first ever one, during that format.
Right.
And ever since then, it's been downhill for the Knicks, you know, drafting the top pick. Even in recent years, They've been rumored to get the number one pick or the second pick, and then they just drop out. You know what I mean? Like, they drop out. Like, they're like usually the outside looking in of like the, like, if it's a deep draft, they're like usually the outside looking in just before all the best, you know, trash changing players are picked. So they've been in, I mean, when it comes to drafting, they've been in no man's land, basically. I mean, I like the RJ Barrett one. The jury's still out on him. He got potential to be a star in this league. But yeah, the Knicks, they really need to win this lottery as well. Because yeah, the Garden, man, prior to these last couple of years, and Dolan, you know, staying away from meddling with the Rangers, you know, they've turned it around. You know, they got, you know, John Davidson, who's the president. He was a former player with the Rangers, announcer. I mean, he's done it all with the Rangers. He came back a few years ago, and Jeff Gordon is the the GM, and they've the whole dynamic of the franchise. So the Rangers, you know, they're definitely. They're definitely on the upscale, franchise-wise, you know, even though they haven't won since 94, but they have some young pieces. I mean, it is kind of bittersweet. They do have a good young goalie that started this year, but it looks like it's going to be the end for Lundqvist, because they said, you know, shortly after the season ended that they're not going to carry three goalies. So, yeah, it looks like it most likely is going to be the end for Lundqvist, you know, as a member of the Blue Shirts.
Wow, that sucks. He's been a great goaltender for the Rangers for years, even leading them to that finals that one year. Where he lost to the Kings, but had a great career.
Yeah, I think
one of the top goaltenders for the Rangers ever.
Mm-hmm. And right now he's in jeopardy of, you know, going ringless like my other players, you know.
I know.
You know, Ewing and Piazza, and probably the only star player for the Yankees, you know, I mean, other than of course Judge right now, you know, but his career is young. Obviously, he has a strong chance of winning a championship even as early as this year, but probably the greatest Yankee, without question, the greatest Yankee player, position player to not win a championship is Don Mattingly, you know, the current Marlins manager.
Yeah.
You know, he's in, you know, Lundqvist is in jeopardy of that, but, you know, we'll see what happens.
What year did he went to the finals?
I think it was 2011, if memory serves me right. But it might have been 2013. I think it was 2013. Let me just make sure. I'm pretty sure it was 2013.
It's 2014.
Oh, it's 2014. Okay, my bad. 2014, right.
Yeah, and I think they had a chance the year after that also, the return, but they got eliminated in the Eastern Conference Finals, I think. Right? Or something like that?
Yeah, I think they got eliminated. I can't remember who. Oh. Was it against Blackhawks, maybe? I can't remember.
Yeah, they could have been the Blackhawks.
Let's see.
I remember there was a year where they could have gone back, but they got eliminated. Or it could have been like...
It looks like it's... Is it Temple? It might have been... This thing might be Tampa Bay Lightning. No, wait. I might have to research.
Well, you're talking about the finals? No, the finals with the Lightning was back in 2015. 2014 was the Rangers and Kings.
Right. No, I know that part. But I was looking to see the one when they got eliminated.
Oh, in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to look for.
Oh.
But I think that one might have been Black. It might have been Blackhawks. I'm gonna have to research that.
Yeah, but it's been the Blackhawks that eliminated them, I think. So the Blackhawks won the finals 2015.
Yeah, and I think that made them be one of the few teams in sports to win all four, all four major teams. You know,
right.
All four major sports.
Yeah. Oh, no. It was the Lightning, because the Lightning's in the Eastern Conference. So the Lightning eliminated the Rangers. Blackhawks are in the Western Conference, which is weird.
Right.
So, yeah, it was 2015 Eastern Conference, the Lightning and the Rangers.
Yeah, so, unfortunately, it's not official yet, but it looks like, that's going to be the end of his legacy with the Rangers, and then he'll just return whenever he retires, get his number retired, at the Garden.
Yeah.
But
one of these days, you got to go see a Ranger game, man. I don't care if we're the only black people in the stands. We got to go see a hockey game. For real.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely got to check out a game for sure.
It's in the same arena, so.
Yeah, the Garden. Yeah. But, shifting gears, the Rangers, one of the Rangers' rivals, of course, the New York Islanders, they're in the postseason. You notice a trend. The teams that are basically, supposedly, the rivals of the Garden, they're all in the playoffs. The Nets are in the playoffs. We'll get into that, the Islanders. I think they knocked out the Panthers in the last round.
Oh wow!
And now they have a two game lead on the Washington Capitals. So yeah, Islanders are, they're trying to win their fifth championship, and this would be their the 40th anniversary of their first championship, Stanley Cup championship, 1980. And I think they won four straight, during that run. So,
what, back in the 80s?
Yep. So, the Islanders are going to try to celebrate their the 40th anniversary of their championship in grand fashion.
Could take it all.
But, shifting gears to the Nets. Nets, there. I think they finished the season 5-3. And, they're on their way to the playoffs. The San Antonio Spurs, they got eliminated.
Yeah, and they missed the playoffs for the first time in years.
Yeah. And their modern day dynasty started against us in 99 mm-hmm. when they won their first ever championship.
Yep. And they always made the playoffs ever since 99. 98 was the last time they missed the playoffs.
Yep. Crazy.
Yeah.
So now the Nets are going to be battling the defending world champion Raptors. And the crazy thing is that's admirable about the Nets is that seven of their top 10 players are they're out.
Right.
They're not playing. So, they got a gutsy team. Jacques Vaughn, you got to give him credit. even though he's, you know, I guess unfortunately for him, technically a lame duck, you know, coach, because there's rumors that they might go after Van Gundy, or I'm trying to think of Jason Kidd. You know, so
I'm even hearing even Popovich might be a name that's being thrown around too.
Wow, Greg Popovich. I can't see that guy leaving San Antonio, but you never know.
You never know. Man, who would have thought Phil Jackson would have been coaching the Knicks?
Well, he didn't coach the Knicks. He was a GM or the president.
He did coach. Remember, they put him as a head coach for a while there. Remember?
Oh, you talking about the Nets or are you talking about the Knicks?
The Knicks.
The Knicks?
Yeah, didn't he coach? Didn't he coach the Knicks? Oh, no, yeah, you're right. What am I talking about? He ain't coaching it, yeah.
He never coached the Knicks.
He was the executive.
Mm-hmm.
The team president.
And he hired, you know.
They should have made him coach instead of the team president.
Yeah, we were saying that from back in the days. I mean, we got the evidence, you know, in the past episode years ago on this show that we said he should have been the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
If he's gonna be the executive, the GM, or you know, he should be the head coach, because basically he was forcing everybody to do the triangle offense, and he's, you know, arguably one of the best, you know, head coaches of all time. I mean, he's the winningest. He has 11 titles, and then you know, as a coach with the Bulls and the Lakers, and of course he won two as a player with the Knicks, our only two championships, you know. But yeah, he should have coached the team, you know.
Yeah.
Especially he was force feeding Derek Fisher and Jeff Hornacek to do the triangle offense with this team, and it wasn't working. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I would just hope that, you know, Leon Rose, Scott Perry, World Wide West, you know, they have the ingredients to turn this team around, because these guys have been, you know, they've have a great relationship with players, you know, in the league. So hopefully that will translate.
Well, you know, the fortunate thing right now, the Knicks, they have that lottery pick coming up. And because, who was it, Charlotte lost? I think it was always the Clippers. I forget who. But
yeah, it was Clippers. They have the Clippers pick.
They have the Clippers pick.
Because of Marcus Morris.
Yeah, yeah. So they have a lottery pick, then they have the 27th pick, and then they have a second-round pick.
Yeah.
So Knicks have no excuses right now to get some young players to add to this team next year and potentially re-sign Morris in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a chance here for the Knicks to be good again if they do things right.
And another move that they did, that they recently did, was they announced the newest addition to their coaching staff. He's the first official member of Tom Thibodeau's coaching staff, and that's Kenny Payne. And this guy, he's been the top assistant coach for John Calipari in Kentucky. So, I mean, this guy, he has a great reputation. He was like one of the highest paid, if not the most paid, assistant coach in college basketball. And his specialty is not only player development, but the big man player development. And a lot of those guys, you know, they've went on to have great careers. Anthony Davis, Carl Towns, Anthony Towns. I mean, you know, Julius Randle. All those guys, you know, they've came under that system. And, you know, they, whatchamacallit, they're, oh yeah, even Kevin Knox, you know. So the sky's the limit. You know, they have a guy who can really mold young players, especially big men. So that's definitely not only is that going to attract, you know, it's going to improve these big men are currently on the team, since they already have a relationship with him. That's going to attract that this move can actually attract big men to come because they know this guy. He has success with big men, you know, and, you know, coaching them, you know, and basically it translated for them to have great NBA careers thus far. So, you know, kudos for the Knicks for making this move.
Yeah. You know, we'll see what Thibodeau brings to this team next year.
Mm-hmm. So as long as Dolan, you know, he doesn't meddle in, you know, with the Knicks as he's, you know, historically known to do, the Knicks have a bright future. How long it'll take, we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a rebuilding team, man. You know, hopefully if everything done right, maybe the Knicks could be a respectable team in about 5 years, you know, if everything breaks right. But they gotta draft well, and they gotta continue to draft high. And then, you know, once they get the talent, homegrown talent, they'll be able to entice the star players to come here. But until they change the culture, you know, no superstar player is gonna come here, let alone two. So, you know, you gotta start from somewhere. But I like the players. I like the people that they've hired recently. So we'll see what happens. Let's see. Yeah, you know what? Let's just go to the Mets, man. what can I say, man? The only bright spot about the Mets is that Dom Smith, he's getting playing time. And the guy, he's hit four home runs. He's hit a home run in four straight games. Like, you know, that's pretty impressive. Dom Smith, man, he's been the MVP of the team. Him, Andres Jimenez, they've been great for this team. JD Davis has been playing great defense, which was the exact opposite of what he was last year. Last year he was great offensively in his first year with the Mets, but terrible defensively. They really worked on him in the off season to improve his footwork, and he's been great. You know, for the most part, both sides of the plate, especially defensively. Pete Alonso, he had a bad day today, but he's been snapping out of his season-long drought. Cano, your boy Cano, he Friday was his first game back off the DL. He hit a home run, had an RBI tying hit to tie the game up at 5, but then Wilson Ramos, man, I hate to say this. You know, I've always wanted Wilson Ramos on the team, you know, for years. Last year he came, I mean, he hit for a pop a little bit, but defensively he's not the same guy as he was with the Nationals. And offensively he's, you know, he doesn't look like he has it anymore. I mean, the Mets, they're gonna have to move on. They're gonna have to trade him or cut him or something, because he's not delivering. I mean, Nito, a few days ago, he had a monster game. Like, he hit his first home run of the year. I think it was a 2-1 home run, if I'm not mistaken. It was either a solo or a 2-1 home run. And then his second time up at the plate, or he had a grand slam, so, which was his first of his career. So he had a monster game. I mean, he plays good defensively. But obviously, I mean, you can't expect Nito to have a performance like that. I mean, he's not Yadier Molina, you know,
mm-hmm.
or Realmuto, who the Mets are very familiar with. He had a 3-run home run yesterday when Walter Lockett pitched, you know, in place of Jacob DeGrom, who basically he had a stiff neck injury. He was supposed to pitch Friday night, but unfortunately, Walter Lockett pitched in place of him, and we got our butt kicked on Friday night. Then you fast forward to today, and basically the Mets got their butt kicked again too, because Mats was pitching well until the fourth inning, and then all hell broke loose. Couldn't get out of the fourth inning, and he scored six runs on him, and I mean it was ugly. I mean, I'm very worried about Steven Matz, because, you know, he always looked like he had potential to be a number two, number three starter, you know, shake off that stigma that he could be maybe a serviceable fourth or fifth starter. But yeah, he's definitely not cutting it, especially with Marcus Stroman opting out of the 2020 season because of, you know, COVID concerns, which makes him the second player in consecutive weeks to opt out after, obviously, Yoenis Cespedes quit on the team last week. Yeah, I mean, and then, of course, Syndergaard, he's out for the year, you know, I think he had Tommy John surgery, so he's out for the rest of the year. And then, of course, they let Zach Wheeler go to the Phillies. You know, they didn't trade the guy. They just let him go to the Phillies. And
what are your thoughts on Stroman? On Stroman opting out? I mean, do you think it was a legitimate reason for him to opt out? Because of COVID-19 concerns, or
I definitely believe that he was, you know, he was legit that he opted, you know, he opted out because, you know, he has concerns, you know, he has family that's, you know, older, and they're gonna play the Marlins soon in Florida, and Lord knows everybody who faces the Marlins, it seems like they get the COVID, so, you know, I believe him, and you know. Stroman has not been known to be a competitor, you know, have a chip on his shoulder. I sincerely think he had concerns about the COVID. And one thing he did that was right was that he let people know in advance that, hey, you know, I'm opting out, instead of you know who just goes AWOL and then he leaves the team, clears out, you know. They send a cop, you know, a security person to see what he, you know, check up on him, see if he's alive, and he just leaves the hotel without telling nobody. Like, come on, I don't know what Cespedes was thinking.
Yeah, that was irresponsible and unexcusable. I mean, this.
Yeah.
This guy should never show his face in baseball again.
I mean, that goes without saying, you know. But yeah, another thing, you know, the Mets rotation it's in shambles, and they're gonna be facing the aforementioned Zach Wheeler for the first time since he's now with the Phillies, and he's been pitching great. I think he's like 2-0 or 3-0 with a you know a great ERA. I think his ERA is either in the twos or in the three.
Wow.
And yeah, he's been pitching great. So, what we bring back?
Probably should have brought him back.
Yeah, they should have brought him back. I mean, that was my whole take last year. They should have brought him back. And if they're gonna get rid of him, they're not gonna resign him. They might as well have traded him away, got some prospects back, and then try to resign him in the offseason. But they didn't do that. They didn't do anything right. And now he's gonna haunt them. He's gonna haunt them tomorrow, you know. That's unfortunately the facts. Nola dominated them today. You know, their ace and Wheeler's gonna dominate them. tomorrow night. You know, the Mets are going to get the broom. I hate to say it as a diehard Mets fan, but, you know, that's facts, man.
Well, Robinson Cano, he's coming back, right? I think.
Back on Friday night. He homered on Friday night.
Oh.
He played today, too. He's played DH, but, you know, as you expect, Cano wants to play, you know, he wants to play second base soon. But,
right.
You know, Guillaume, he's played well. He hit over 400. And this guy, you know, he's never been a guy who's had a lot of playing time. Maybe he pinch hit once every a week or two. But, yeah, he's been getting a lot more playing time. And he's been hitting, surprisingly. And playing great defense as usual. Then you got Jimenez, who, you know, who was a highly touted prospect for the Mets. He finally debuted this year, and he's been playing well. Rosario, he's been hitting well for the most part. The weird thing about it is that the Mets, as a team, they have the highest batting average in the National League. But unfortunately, with runners in scoring position, they've been hitting like 208 or so. So, I mean, that's the reason why Mets are a sub 500 team. So, I mean, what can I say about the Mets that hasn't been said already?
So depressing.
It is depressing. Yeah, man, this is the state of the Mets, you know? The only miracle the Mets can have is, you know, they traded to Steve Cohen or A-Rod, the group that has A-Rod and J-Lo. You know, they can't trade it to Harrison. I think Blitzen is the name of the other group who owns the Red Sox. No, not the Red Sox. I'm trying to remember the team. The Devils. The I think the Steelers and 76ers.
Blitzen, Cohen, J-Rod. It's all like Santa Claus reindeers or something.
Yeah, for real.
The hell? What are these names?
On Blitzen, on A-Rod, on Cupid. Oh, man. Nick, I mean, just the Wilpon still on the team. That's a Christmas gift right there for the Mets fans, for real.
Well, I hear there's some controversy surrounding Cohen and his group, so I don't know if that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. I think the Mets' hope is A-Rod and J-Lo taking over the team.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I just have a bad feeling that it's going to be, what was it, Harrison Blitzen or something, or Harrison Blitzer or Blitzen. I forgot the name of the group, the owners of the aforementioned teams. But, yeah, they haven't done anything with the Devils. The only thing that they did with the Devils is that they got rid of Lou Lamoriello, which, I mean, he's arguably the best, you know, GM in Devils history. He's arguably the best GM, you know, one of the best GMs in NHL history or in any sport. And they let this guy go, you know, just for money reasons. So that's a bad sign. And, I think Lou Lamoriello went to the Maple Leafs, turned that franchise around, and then he went to, he's with the Islanders now, which, I mean, you know, Islanders are, you know, doing well. So, I mean, that goes without saying. But, yeah, man, the Mets, man, they better...
Yes, I get their act together.
They better get their act together, but I don't know. I feel like Wilpons is going to be spiteful and just sell it to Josh Harris and David Blitzer. You know, sell it to guys who, you know, who have the money and they, you know, they don't care. They just want to have a team in every sport and not do anything.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we'll see what happens, man. And, yeah, now let's switch over to a team I don't root for. So, of course, if I don't root for this team, that means they have a strong chance of winning a championship. And, of course, we're talking about your New York Yankees.
Well, the Yankees, right now they're playing real well, although they have some injuries.
Yeah, your cousin, LeMahieu, got hurt.
Yeah, well, it looked like he hurt his finger or hand, something. You know, it didn't seem like it was that big of an injury. So, you know, we'll wait to see what the MRI reveals. But, LeMahieu has been on a tear. I mean, right now he's in like 430, I think, before tonight. So if he keep that up, that would, you know, he would win the batting title, of course. But the last player to bat 400, I think, was Miguel, on Detroit.
Who, Ty Cobb?
No, on Detroit Tigers.
Ty Cobb plays for the Detroit Tigers.
No, the other guy on Detroit, Miguel Cabrera. There you go. He was.
Are you talking about modern history?
Yeah. The last person to hit 400, I think, was him, wasn't it? That year when
I don't think he's ever hit 400. He had the triple crown. I don't think he's.
Oh, okay, that was it. I guess that was it. Yeah, the triple.
Yeah,
crown.
Yeah, he hit for the triple crown. I don't think he's ever hit 400.
I could have sworn like he was close to it one year.
Yeah, he was close to it.
Oh,
he might have been
okay.
390s. I don't think Miguel Cabrera ever hit 400.
Oh, okay. So that was probably it, the triple crown. But yeah, so LeMahieu would be the first player to do that, you know, in a while to hit 400. But yeah, he's been great for us, man, ever since we acquired him. And this guy is a perfect leadoff hitter, hits with runs in scoring position, you know. So he would be my pick for MVP.
Yeah.
You know, if he continues at this pace.
And he's a free agent this after this season. And, you know, the Yankees got to sign him because he's a, you know,
oh, yeah.
He's not like the typical, you know, slugger that the Yankees have who just, you know, it's feast or famine. This guy legit wants to get a hit.
Yeah.
Kind of remind me of your boy Jeter.
Oh, yeah. But I'd say he's a much better hitter than Jeter. And Jeter, you know, I thought was a good situational hitter. But LeMahieu, you know, when people are on base, his eyes light up. Even when people aren't on base, his eyes light up.
I hope the Macaulay from the past didn't hear that because he will take a time machine back to into 2020 and laugh at saying that because no one can say anybody's been in Jeter, especially back in the days when they had the shortstop debate 20 years ago by A-Rod, the aforementioned A-Rod and Jeter, who was better.
Oh, yeah.
You know, nobody could say anybody's been in Jeter, so I'm surprised you said that.
Well, I'm not saying he's better than Jeter. I'm saying, you know, he's a better situational hitter than Jeter. So,
I disagree with that, but I mean he's close. But I disagree with that. I mean
Jeter never hit 400 something, you know. So if LeMahieu continues at this pace,
well the season,
you know,
isn't over yet.
Up there with all time greats, you know.
The season isn't over yet. I mean you can't.
Oh yeah,
of
course.
Yeah, I mean, and obviously I don't know if you're familiar with Jeter in the postseason. I mean he's close.
Well, yeah.
So,
yeah. But, you know, got to give LeMahieu credit right now.
Is this Freaky Friday or something? Like, our body switch? I'm defending Jeter, and you're saying somebody else is better than him?
I'm not saying he's better. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying he's better than Jeter. Don't get it twisted. I'm saying he's better. Right now, he's a better situational hitter than we've seen. He's a better situational hitter we've seen on the Yankees in the last 30 years, I'd say. You know, this guy, he just hits with runners in scoring position.
I would say that he's the best situational hitter since Jeter retired. I would not say he's better than Jeter situational hitting right now.
The runners in scoring position, you see, even going back to last year, this guy was always, he was our best hitter with runners in scoring position. And he almost single-handedly won that game for us in game 6 against the Astros.
Oh, yeah.
Before
I know that.
We lost that. So he's been a machine, man. He's been great. You know? You gotta give him credit. I mean, Gino's definitely clutch, and he's my favorite player of all time. But if you got to be honest and say, you know, what is the scoring position? Who would you want? I take LeMahieu anytime, you know, 10 times out of 10 over Jeter. I'm sorry.
How about in the World Series?
Maybe not in the World Series.
Okay. Judgment to the plate.
But still, he's good. We haven't seen a Yankee player hit like this before in the scoring position probably since, you know.
Derek Jeter retired?
The DiMaggio, you know?
I think you haven't, like, you know, since it's like the first, the brand new toy kind of like mentality. Like, I think you're forgetting. Like, I'm sorry. Like, oh yes, he's the best.
I'm going by stats here. I'm going by stats.
We're going by stats and the eye test.
Well, yeah. But no, I'm telling you, I've seen Jeter play and I've seen LeMahieu play.
I know you.
LeMahieu hits with runners on scoring position. I mean, when he's up, runners in scoring position, you know it's definitely going to be a hit.
Of course.
I mean, yeah. So that's what I'm comparing to. I'm not saying he's better than Jeter. So don't get it twisted. Of course,
okay,
I still think Jeter's a better player. Yeah. No. I'm not saying he's better than Jeter. I'm saying if you're going to take a player with runs in scoring position, who are you going to want up? LeMahieu's proven just in year over year that he's one of the best Yankees of all time when it comes to hitting runs in
Absolutely.
Scoring position. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
I was about to say, who's this imposter? Because I know McCarthy would never say something like that.
No. I said it. I said he's not better than Jeter. I'm saying with runs in scoring position, he's already proven he's one of the all-time greats on the Yankee lineup so far.
Yeah,
you know, you look up his WAR and OPS. You could clearly see it. You know, this guy's a machine,
and that's why they have to re-sign him.
No question about it. No question about it. They have to re-sign this guy. I mean, you know, this guy can just flat out hit. But, you know, right now, Stanton, they're injured right now. On a 10-day IL. I mean, these guys are getting injured almost every year for now, you know. I don't know if because they're just bigger than everyone else, but and Judge, you know, he has like 9 home runs right now. He's been on a tear. So losing him, you know, it's hopefully it won't hurt us too bad. But we have some of these other guys like Clint Frazier who came back up and he's had a good 2 days. He had 5 RBIs today and a couple of home runs. So he's been great so far. But, yeah, right now we're looking good, 14-6 through 20 games. I mean, can't get better than that. So Yankees are playing real good right now despite the injuries.
Mm-hmm. Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Hopefully they can continue and we'll go for the sweep. Well, actually, no, we have 2 more games against the Red Sox here, so.
But switching gears, let's talk wrestling. I'm trying to think what happened. I mean, Retribution basically, they basically invaded both shows this past week. I'm trying to think what happened on Raw. Randy Orton attacked which you knew that was bound to happen.
Mm-hmm.
What was your thoughts?
Well, I was kind of shocked by that, actually. I didn't think he was going to attack him. If he was going to attack him, I saw it probably happening at SummerSlam, but you know, not on Raw when it happened. But I don't know why these Evolution members are always beating up on Ric Flair. Batista did it. Triple H did it. I don't know.
Charlotte slapped him.
Charlotte slapped him. Who was the other Evolution member?
That was it. There's only 4. Remember, it was Randy Orton, Triple H, and Batista. That's it.
Oh, I could have sworn there was someone else on there. Okay.
Well, there was rumor they were going to use Mark Jindrak, but they never did. So it's always been 4.
Okay. Yeah, there was attacking Ric Flair, but
Well, he's the dirtiest player of the game, so you know he's been attacking people ever since his Four Horsemen days. So
yeah,
I guess he has a little taste of his medicine.
I think he's gonna now help McIntyre now.
You know what I think gonna happen? They want you to think that, but in actuality, he's gonna pretend he's on McIntyre's side, but he's gonna low blow him, and then help Randy Orton win the title. And it's going to be like part of a ruse. Like, basically, he wanted Randy Orton to win so badly that he sacrificed himself, you know, to be a diversion. So that Randy Orton could win the title.
I don't see that happening, to be honest with you.
That's exactly what he did to Christian. Like a few months ago, he pretended he was Christian's friend, low blowed him. And basically, that enabled Orton to punt kick him, you know, in that unsanctioned match. And then, of course, he punted Big Show. And didn't he punt somebody else again?
Can't even remember.
I mean, obviously, he punted Edge, but I'm trying to think, who did he? Didn't he punt somebody else after? Well, I mean, he did punt Ric Flair, obviously. But I'm trying to think that there was somebody else he punted in between them. I can't remember. But yeah, once he was talking about, so they were having that discussion. I knew he was gonna attack Ric Flair. I thought he was gonna RKO him. But yeah, not surprised. I thought, like you, I thought they were going to do it, after SummerSlam or at SummerSlam. But once they were talking in the ring for, like 10 minutes, I'm like, yeah, he's definitely going to beat him up. It's obvious.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else happened. Oh, yeah, Shayna Baszler was attacking people in the Raw Underground. And I don't know if you noticed, there was like this blonde lady who was, you know, trying to jump her. One of the three that was trying to jump her. That lady looked like she could really beat up Shayna Baszler, and then she had to like kind of pump the brakes because she you know they were using her as an enhancement talent. And I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I don't remember that for some reason.
Yeah, you don't remember
Shayna on the Underground.
Yeah, she was fighting like three women at the same time.
I gotta go back and watch that. I'm forgetting.
She might
that
attack
part.
I think she might attack the dude before that too.
Oh.
I can't remember what else. I mean, there was that big dude that was in the Bob or something. That debuted in last week's one. I can't remember anything else that happened in the Raw Underground. I don't know, I'm trying to think. Anything else happened on Raw? Yeah, I'm drawing a blank.
Yeah, Big E Big E got attacked in the beginning, but then he ended up fighting Johnny. I almost said Johnny Nitro. John Morrison.
Who fought John Morrison?
Big E.
Big E. I thought you said Bailey, but that was SmackDown.
No, Big E.
Yeah,
Big E
got
attacked in the beginning. Yeah,
right.
But then they fought at the end there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, by Retribution.
Yeah.
And WWE is basically destroying vandalizing their own property. That's how much, you know, Vince McMahon is rich. Like, he don't care. Like, and I think he wants it to symbolize the riots that were, you know, that has been going on, you know, in real life, you know, because you know WWE want to push the edge, and now they're no longer PG. Now they're TV-14.
TV-14.
Yeah, they're back to TV-14, like the Attitude Era.
Oh yeah,
not PG-13 anymore.
Well, now you got that Underground, so you know that Underground is making them a bit edgy now.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think what else happened on SmackDown. Biggie got attacked by Sheamus. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. AJ Styles, he debuted that new statistic. And I don't know if you noticed, there was a big dude standing next to him?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, basically, he's Joseph Park.
Rosa Parks?
No, he's a dude in TNA. Basically,
oh, Joseph Park. Oh.
Yeah, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He's
no.
In real life, he's really Abyss.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember Abyss.
Yeah, but in TNA, when he has two gimmicks. He has Abyss, you know, definitely inspired by Kane and Mankind. And then he had this other character called Joseph Park, which you saw made his WWE debut last night. Basically, that character is supposed to be the brother of Abyss. But in all actuality, it's really him. But so maybe this might lead to Abyss popping up for real. I mean,
wow. So that's crazy. So WWE, they have the Underground, Rosa Parks. So they're bringing back slavery.
Joseph Parks.
Right, you know. Related to slavery.
Joseph Parks. Because his character is basically like Clark Kent trying to wrestle, basically.
Oh, okay.
So that was interesting that, you know, AJ Styles is using him.
Yeah. I'm surprised that he was in TNA, right? For a while?
Yeah. The character too. Yeah, he was in TNA as long as Sting was.
Oh,
because those were the two guys that were popular in TNA. That, well, other than, you know, obviously AJ Styles and Samoa Joe, you know, later on. But those were the guys that you never thought in a million years would ever go to WWE.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, AJ Styles. I mean, I think Samoa Joe might have had like enhancement matches before they made it in TNA, like
right.
decades ago or so.
Mm-hmm.
But since they made a name on their stuff in TNA, yeah, you never thought those guys would ever come to WWE. And yeah, Sting and Abyss, you know, were on that level too. And both Sting and Abyss, they've had rumors to have, you know, matches with Undertaker, but both of them at the time turned down the opportunity to come to WWE, even to fight against Undertaker, because they had so much loyalty for TNA. And when both of those guys came to TNA, I mean to WWE, it's unfortunately too little too late. Let me see what else happened. Oh, yeah, so Jeff Hardy is going to be battling AJ Styles in the future. I would assume SummerSlam. For the Intercontinental title. Trying to think what else happened. Asuka, she's going to be battling against... I think she's battling against what? Sasha, I think? For the SmackDown Championship or so?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What other stuff? I'm trying to think. NXT... Velveteen Dream returned. He battled against Cameron Grimes, who, to me, he is the NXT equivalent of a Southern Baron Corbin character. I mean, that character might be even more annoying than Baron Corbin. If you see how Cameron Grimes is, I mean, he's like a caricature of like what a Southern. What a stereotypical Southern wrestler would be, you know. But, Velveteen Dream fought against him and Kushida. And basically, Cameron Grimes did his cave-in finisher on Velveteen Dream and then pinned... pin Kushida to advance to the fatal five way ladder match at the 30th Takeover, which is I think next week Saturday.
Oh, so
and,
it's the day before SummerSlam.
Yeah. So basically, now Velveteen Dream will have to battle against Finn Balor to determine who's going to make the fifth and final spot in the Fatal 5-Way ladder match to determine a new NXT North American champion. So right now, the challengers right now is Bronson Reed. I think Damian Priest qualified also. Who else was there? Cameron Grimes, of course. Who's the other person that escapes me at the moment? Bronson. Oh yeah. Damian Priest. So okay. So it's Bronson Reed, Damian Priest, Cameron Grimes. Who's the other person? I just mentioned the person. Escapes me. But in any case, those are the four people who qualified. And then afterwards, it's going to be either Finn Balor or Velveteen Dream who's going to make that fifth and final spot. So we'll see what happens there. TNA, they had Jericho battle against Orange Cassidy. Cassidy will pay the $7,000 for Jericho's shirt that Orange Cassidy dirtied with that orange juice that he spilled weeks ago. Needless to say, Jericho lost in an upset to Orange Cassidy, and Orange Cassidy doesn't have to pay $7,000 for the shirt that he ruined by Jericho. So,
orange juice.
Oh yeah, another thing is Mike Chioda, the longtime WWE referee, now he's in TNA. He officiated that match, and he also officiated Cody Rhodes defending the TNT championship against Scorpio Sky. And they finally unveiled how the TNT championship was supposed to look, but they weren't able to fix it prior to this Wednesday because of the COVID. They weren't able to, you know, they debuted the title without the final, you know, the final touches on the title, but now the title's complete. So, Cody Rhodes successfully defended the title. And basically, MJF is challenging Jon Moxley, of course, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, for the AEW title. And I don't know if I remember mentioned it last week, but Vicky Guerrero is also in AEW. She's the manager of Nyla Rose, because now they're gonna have AEW tag team women's division. They're gonna have a tournament to determine who's gonna be the new AEW tag team women tag team champions. But I'm trying to think anything else I forgot to cover.
Braun Strowman has a new haircut. He looks like Big Show now.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me that. I forgot to mention that. Yeah, Braun Strowman lost his mind. He flung Alexa Bliss into the ring to bait Bray Wyatt, you know, as the Fiend to come into the ring, and yeah, that's a crazy feud.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely going in a direction I wouldn't have thought they would have went. Braun Strowman lost his mind. Like, like completely. Now, what's your thought on the whole feud and his encounter with his former friend, Alexa Bliss?
I think it's crazy. You know, I think it's becoming weirder and weirder every week. Yeah, we're just going to have to see how this plays out at SummerSlam here next week. You know, is Alexa Bliss going to do something to cost Bray Wyatt the title? Right now it's looking like that might be the way. So, yeah, it's just gotten stranger and stranger, this this triangle.
Stranger things has happened at SummerSlam. More stranger than 11.
Yep.
But we'll see what happens. We'll give you a preview of SummerSlam next week. Anything you'd like to say?
Right now, there's a UFC fight that's about to happen. Daniel Cormier against Stipe. I don't know how to pronounce his name.
Mololik or something like that. I forgot.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, this is their third bout. Their third and final bout.
So right now I'm watching it online. So, yeah, that's about to happen shortly. So you guys, you fighting fans, UFC fans, check that out. But other than that, yeah, just come back here. Check out Sports of Legend every Saturdays at 11.
Mm-hmm.
Only at Blog Talk Radio.
You're the guy. Check out the show every Saturdays at 11. Check out the YouTube channel, Sports of Legend TV. Who you think is going to win?
Cormier.
Yeah, I think so too. Well, he's McCauley and Matthew. I'm Wayne Ramon. I'll see you guys next week. Peace.